ATM is safe, your banks are safe, there's enough cash in the financial system, and there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve, an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve,
an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
Don't you want somebody love? Don't you want?
And I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I had been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now.
Find somebody to love. Don't you?
On this trend has been margin called.
Think you was a hook, trust if your idols, now they got you shook. Believe in the crooks, hell of the same. Are they cooking the books? Save up a decade, now I said a day. Another November, I'm just getting away. Bigger the bet, bigger ripple effect. When it all blows up, it is you who will pay.
Behind the ads, inside the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a big zippy net. Made from your savings and 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialize us, is why we've been the game. First to fall and it's straight with swore. Cause it's just a pawn in the fertility stream.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the cloud, pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. The truth, so we repeat a mistake. Sell us a dream that never delivers. While raking in fees and clipping the tickets. Siphoning funds from a mouthless thicket. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingled the risks that nobody knows. The higher it'll go to a damaged collateral. Another excuse for oppressive control. And government capture was part of the play. Reapers of value at the end of the day. We're calling for help, but nobody came. When bailouts are pawned and completed.
The money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex. And fallible humans left to check. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economy's a lot of GX.
What would happen if we take our money out of its systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the cantillon effects with the will of free markets.
Step one.
Build an independent system to remove the risk of corruption.
Step two.
Move our savings into that system so no one can ever touch it.
Step three.
Earn, save, spend, trade. All activities move this way. We were our own money. Everything changed. We no longer positive to you again.
Tired by desire, earned by work, and with time, earning a larger piece of pie for everyone wants to be able to buy. Money is data pure on one way. Match keeps score with politicians. Coming and capturing part of the place, and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being censored. Move on from gambling and saving. Move on from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have to trust every word that they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat them, but it's all the same.
So we can get to the chill of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's in the game.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. This is episode 92, and I am your host, Coleman, and I just want to say thank you all for tuning in. I want to just shout out to some listeners we have out here in the audience, all 12 of you, as we start getting more people trickling in. I want to say good morning to Miss Penny out there, Hunter. We have Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle. Bitcoin is. We have Christopher, King Bateman, Dr. Nick, Daniel, I Love Bitcoin. And of course, we have Bob Van Kirk up here. Good morning, sir. How was your evening?
Good morning, Coleman. I apologize for any road noise. I'm in my vehicle traveling to talk to an insurance company about Bitcoin. But my evening was spectacular. We had an awesome meetup in the DFW area last night and got to talk about all kinds of great topics related to Bitcoin.
Are you noticing that your numbers for the meetup are increasing? There's getting a little bit more traction, more interest without the core group or outside of the
core group? Yeah, absolutely. And what's really interesting as well is the demographics. So we're seeing more females, which is awesome. We're also seeing some older folks, young people too, but older folks. We had a gentleman in his 80s, or just turned 80 last month, actually, who was there and said, "My grandkids don't care about this yet, but I want to buy it and I want to buy it for them."
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. What were, I'm not sure if you asked everybody, but what was the reason for the increase of people coming to the meeting? Is it just more people becoming aware or people just kind of seeing the writing on the wall? Like, I'm always curious over how people are finding it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what I'm seeing anyway across the meetups is there's just growing interest. And some people are there, you know, just to get rich. They're there to trade crypto and XRP and all these other shenanigans. But what you are able to do is often explain to them, you know, what our purpose is and why we're there and why our community is so tight-knit and how long we've been meeting. And, you know, people come to it for different ways and different reasons. A lot of people hear about it through, you know, YouTube, podcasts, and then they're looking to engage in a community. And so I think it's interesting because there's a lot of different, a variety of ways that people are thinking about it and trying to learn about it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that there's more traction. And again, it's just becoming more, I guess, just the public's becoming more aware of it. So I always like hearing about that. How often do you have these meetings? Just monthly?
Depends on the meetup. We have a few, especially like in DFW, it seems like a few are weekly. There's others that are monthly. And it just depends on, you know, the focus of each group. Some are more technical and how to, and then others are more social, and just kind of talking about the news and hanging out. So it just depends on the group.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm glad to see that it's starting to grow in that area. We have Shane Hazel up here. Good morning, sir. How was your evening?
Hey, morning, everybody. Great evening, man. I'm usually on the mats at jiu-jitsu in the evenings with my whole family, and last night was no exception. Funny enough, we get to do a little bit of orange pilling while we're down there, too. I've got quite a few people that are, you know, at different points on their timeline, and it's funny. Like, last night we were talking about the SBR in between roles, and one of the guys I ended up rolling with, we were kind of like, so when do you think this is going to happen? You know, we're in the middle of going at it on the floor, and, you know, I'm laughing, he's laughing, and but, you know, it's funny. You know, you've got people that are, you know, really, really excited about this. I introduced one of the, you know, one of the guys I roll with over there probably back around Thanksgiving, and he's gone through 6 out of 10 books that I gave him so far. You know, just, you know, voracious about, you know, absorbing this. And, you know, to be fair, he doesn't have wife or kids or any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, and he's a, you know, self-made entrepreneur and all that. But, you know, and then you've got, you know, the gym itself that's looking at adopting Bitcoin. So we're going to put on, and it's a family run gym. So, you know, helping them understand it, getting them set up. It's just a really cool thing to see right now. And, you know, if that's the way you're spending your evenings, now it's, you know, a topic where, you know, it's going to come up even during practice or, you know, in your local everyday life when people know you're a Bitcoiner. I think those are really, really positive signs for where we're headed in this continuum.
So I definitely have some follow-up questions. In regards to the SBR, is that coming up organically, or are you bringing it up to the people at the gym?
So the one guy, we'll just call him Adam for now, he's actually, you know, read up and in the know. So the SBR came up last night in a conversation where, you know, like between rounds, we have like 30 to 40 seconds in between like a 3 to 5 minute round. And me and a couple of the other guys were sitting there, you know, deciding who's going to roll with who next. And SBR came up real quick from Adam. He's like, do you think the price is pumping because, you know, Trump's, you know, officially, you know, I should say, you know, the Senate confirmed the election yesterday, and now they're talking about the SBR. And one of the guys was like, what's the SBR? So, you know, it kind of came up through him, and then we started talking about it for the next, you know, 30, 40 seconds. And as we split off to roll, we kept talking about it. And, you know, when they start to understand that the few Bitcoins that are out there are going to be snatched up in a nation state, you know, grab, it starts to kind of hit home that 100,000 is kind of just the beginning, right? Like we've been front running this thing for, you know, almost 16 years now. And, you know, now that it's time for nation state adoption, or at least nation states are talking about this, especially America, you know, now it's starting to grab a lot of attention, and people are going, geez, man, I had no idea it would just keep going. So that's kind of where, a lot of these guys are at that, you know, we're having conversations with. Yeah. And a lot of this is coming up organically.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to spend a little bit of time on that today with, in regards to the SBR. And I've been trying to listen to a lot of podcasts, catch up over the holiday break. So over the weekend, I listened to quite a few, and there were a lot of what I would consider to be like OG Bitcoiners were on these podcasts, and they were talking, and the way that they were speaking about the SBR, they were speaking about it with just such conviction and certainty. And I really don't think that's felt across the entire Bitcoin ecosystem. I don't think everybody that's involved really thinks that it's a sure thing, but listening to these guys, one of them being Matt O'Dell, and he spoke about it with just like, yeah, it's going to happen. And in case you missed it, we had Larry Lepard on the show yesterday, and he spoke about it as a certainty as well. It wasn't kind of like if it happens, it was when it happens, he's going to do it. And it's just, the ripple effects that are going to come from this, I just, you try and, you know, look past and see what's going to happen. I just can't, when you start looking at it, I get too bullish with it. There's just the amount of money that'll just inevitably be flowing into it, and the absolute race to try and acquire it is going to be something I don't think anyone is really prepared for. I was trying to lay out some scenarios to talk about on the show. And again, it's just, it's insane. So Larry had mentioned yesterday that when he was in Bitcoin Mina, he spoke to a couple representatives or people within the governments over there. And he said that they had purchased large quantities of Bitcoin and that they wanted to make it publicly known. But I guess they're waiting for the United States to kind of give the nod first to say, we're going to start doing this. We're acquiring it. And then there's going to be a ripple effect to that. And I think that number is like maybe 10 to 15 countries that just start announcing this back to back to back to back, that it creates just an extreme FOMO for all the other countries. But also you're going to have all these other businesses that are going to start holding like emergency meetings to see how they can start acquiring it and putting it back onto their balance sheet. Because I think once you get the United States announcing that they're doing it, you're going to see a huge spike in the price of Bitcoin. I don't think, like with the ETFs last year, almost a year ago, everyone thought as soon as they rolled out, the price was going to take off. It was a little bit of a letdown. The price kind of tanked a little bit and then it slowly started going. I don't think you're going to have that dip before it gets traction. I think it's just going 0 to 1,000 instantaneously. And Bob and Shane, I'd like to get your thoughts on that and how you kind of see this playing out. Cause I really don't think it's an if it's going to happen. I think it's a certainty that it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll chime in. I think it's a high probability for sure. I think the curious thing for me personally is to see how it's done, right? Is it an executive order, which would be obviously short-term bullish, but maybe not the best for the long-term, versus having some sort of announcement that, you know, there's an intent there to create this reserve, and that the current holdings, are being, you know, basically called in from the Marshall Service to start this reserve, and that the intent is to move forward with legislation that would allow for an SBR, I think would be a lot more long-term bullish. Not to say Bitcoin can be stopped or anything, But in terms of this race that you're talking about, Coleman, I think, you know, having legislation would be a lot better than just some other sort of executive order.
I think you're right. There has to be a legal framework to get this, to make sure, because if Trump does it as an executive order, anybody that follows him can go ahead and undo it, just the stroke of a pen. So I agree with you with that. But when I look at Donald Trump and the way that he acts, and he just likes to have people talking about him, it doesn't matter really what light it is. He just wants people focusing on him, and he wants to be known for something. I really have a hard time trying to find a scenario where he wants to, where he won't do an executive order to get this done. I am quite sure there is nothing more he would like to have be known as being the president of the United States, of the entire world, that created a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And I really can't see him trying to not do it. Strategically, I think doing an executive order on day one, it is not the best solution. I really don't think it's smart. It doesn't make sense. You should be doing it stealthily, acquiring it over a couple of months, and then come out, you know, in the middle of the summer, say, hey, you know what? We've acquired X amount of Bitcoin. That would be the best way to do it. I'm sure he's being advised to do it that way. I think Luke Grohman on Preston Pish's podcast had mentioned that. I don't see Trump having the willpower to just keep this under wraps. That I can't see it. And his fear would be that another nation announces it first, and then he loses that whole kind of Bitcoin president allure that he's searching for. I see we have Rustin out in the audience. I sent you an invite. If you want to come up here, please, I'd like to get your take on this. We're talking about the SBR and Trump executive order. But Shane, I didn't mean to talk over you. Sorry.
No, hey, all good thoughts. And I agree with them wholeheartedly. I was going to kind of bring up the idea that, you know, politicians do what politicians do. They stoke fires to get elected. They make huge promises, and then they get into office, and a lot of those things fall extremely short, right? And I think that's just the nature of politics, whether you like it or not. I don't think Bitcoin is any exception in this case. I think there is game theory playing out. I think it is inevitable at some point. But I also, you know, I don't think Trump's going to come in day one, issue the executive order. And I say that because, you know, there's a lot of power in this, and there is a lot of strategic moves that we don't understand. Like, and I say understand, is that we don't know about, that are happening behind the scenes. And there could be a lot of talk, and there could be a lot of action behind the scenes that we're just not privileged to. It doesn't mean that they're not stacking, and it doesn't mean that they're not moving, and you know, looking to allocate funds, whether they're buying it, mining it, you name it. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but I also think this is a gigantic power, you know, convergence in a move. And anytime you've got these giant power moves, there is a lot of politicking that comes along with that. And politicking takes time, right? You've got to have, you know, these messengers in between, whether it's congressmen or senators, you know, going back and forth, whether, and you also, you know, the bureaucracies. And so when you're looking at these gigantic power moves to see who's aligned, who isn't aligned, you know, these things are extremely political. They're extremely bureaucratic, and they're slow. So, you know, for me, it's like, yeah, is this an inevitability? Yeah. Does it get done in this first 100 days? I don't know. I really don't. But here's the thing is, I don't think it matters. And that's because Donald Trump has already signaled, hey, I'm going to do this through executive order. And we've also got, you know, the SBR, you know, introduced by Cynthia Lummis in terms of the legalese and the law, the bill that she's got out there. That's going to push the rest of the world in that direction, no matter what. And whether they beat America to the punch, or they're, you know, trying to keep up, whatever it is, I think that's the signal to the rest of the world that, hey, these guys are going to have to do this. And I think that's where we've gotten to now, is it doesn't matter one way or another when and how America does this. They've signaled to the rest of the world that this is the way they're going. So whether it's behind the scenes or they're out front in front of the media, I think this is playing out, and 2025 is going to be one of those years where you look at, you know, Bitcoin and go, oh my God, like, what happened in history? So that's just kind of my take.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said, Shane. The only pushback I would do is that I still wouldn't put it past Trump to allow him to just sit on the sidelines. I can't. I see his sons, the way Eric spoke at Bitcoin MENA really impressed me. Like, he was not just talking off PowerPoint. He really understands it. And the fact that Saylor's going to Mar-a-Lago and talking to him, they made the post together. I really can't see how he just sits by. And again, his ego is just too big. I think we have the votes in Congress to get this pushed through. Anthony Scaramucci was on a podcast and he said, like, hey, we passed, the Saab 151 or whatever that banking regulation was with enough votes. So there will be enough votes to get Lummis's bill passed through. Trump wants to be the Bitcoin president. I just think signing it into law is not enough for him. He wants to executive order it, get it out, and then go ahead and he'll work backwards from it. Wade, your hand is up, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd just like to share something with you. I was in touch with probably the second most powerful attorney with the Alaska State Legislature yesterday. And I was able to share the Bitcoin Veterans Unreleased documentary with the person. And the response was pretty amazing. The response was, I'm just going to read it. Hi, if Trump signs the executive order, you may want to have a formal letter together. Formal letter ready for the executive branch officials and also permanent fund corp officials ready to sign immediately after. Immediately being after the game, press, public attention and send a message. I know the governor would be a great attendee, yet his, revenue people might demonstrate seriousness as they are his revenue and fiscal policy advisors and implementation people. Then Alaska Permanent Fund Corp is an interested party as they are fiduciary of our unfortunately state final savings investment account. So the takeaway here is somebody of that level within our state government, one of the more powerful people. Granted, they're not a legislative voter, but this is somebody, highly educated attorney, chief legal counsel, who took the time to correspond with me about the upcoming Bitcoin Alaska conference and how to affect policy. And our messaging has continued. I mean, we've been messaging for the last year or two, so they are very educated now at this point, right? And they're helping me spread the word. So this is trickle down. Notice how she mentioned the executive order due to our previous correspondence. And so as the federal government is doing things and as Trump is looking at doing things, it raises awareness. It pushes the states in that direction too.
So that's amazing, Wade. I just want a little clarity. Was that your letter to him or is that his letter to you?
That was the message I received back from the attorney, legal counsel.
All right, gotcha. That's pretty impressive, especially because you said that Alaska up until recently it's kind of turning a blind eye to Bitcoin and how it helped the state with all their natural resources. So, it's good to see that you're making some traction up there. And in case for everyone who doesn't know, Wade is putting on the Bitcoin Alaska conference on July 5th and 6th. And so he keeps posting that he's going to be extremely busy up until that time talking to, state officials and getting everything running. But I just want to make sure everyone understands, like, this is going to be an amazing conference. It's not going to be large like the Bitcoin Nashville conference was. It's going to be small, it'll be intimate. You'll have a chance to meet a lot of Bitcoiners. Plus it's going to be a family friendly conference. So you'll be able to bring the wife, your husband, the kids, your in-laws. And again, Alaska has a really soft spot in my heart. So you're definitely not going to want to miss this. If you can make this trip, go to bitcoinalaska.org, get your tickets and hotel really quick because those will be the first things that sell out.
Just to throw one more thing out there, Rustin in the audience will be our host for the conference.
Yes, that'll be awesome. And again, I'm excited to meet all of you, in person again. And I just want to do a quick shout out for a happy belated birthday to LBN that's in the audience. Everyone give her a little love up there. And happy birthday, ma'am. I'm going to play a quick video really quick. It has to do with the SBR, but this is from Matt O'Dell. And he was just on the What Bitcoin Did podcast. For those of you who don't know, Danny Knowles restarted that podcast with Peter McCormick's permission. So he kind of did his own spin off, but they're still focusing now on Bitcoin only content. So he had Matt O'Dell on there over the weekend. So I'm going to go play a quick clip of Matt speaking about the SBR. It's about a minute and a half.
Current state of the U.S. government and our debt burden. Literally the only way you could even conceivably imagine ourselves digging ourselves out of this is to print money and buy Bitcoin. We have a unique opportunity here where we're the only country in the world where our debt is denominated in our own shitcoin. And we have the ability to print that shitcoin and buy the hardest asset that's ever existed. Now, I used to joke about this. I actually thought it was never a possibility, like never going to happen. And we're starting to see the early signs of it. Now, there's a delicate act here, right? Because you don't want the currency to go into free fall. That's where you end up in a true mandible situation. And even without the Bitcoin piece, we're already like kind of on the precipice of it. You know, we're already like you're starting to see, you know, 10-year treasury yields go out of control. Like people starting to realize like, why am I lending the U.S. government money for 10 years? At a low interest rate. And so confidence there is already shook. Now, if you shake confidence more, it could get really bad really quickly. So there's a delicate balancing act where you start to see things like in the Lummis bill, we're selling our gold that's not marked to market for Bitcoin. We're not going to print money to buy Bitcoin. But the real like grug brain move here is you print as much as the market can tolerate and you buy as much Bitcoin as possible. That Bitcoin appreciates in purchasing power over time. And all of a sudden our government is solvent instead of not solvent. Who?
So I have the link up in the nest, for this video. But again, I think I want to spend some time on this next little part. It still deals with the SBR, but I heard Larry talk about it yesterday and it was a Bretton Woods 3.0 and the fact that we're not in a debt spiral, but we're just in a situation where there's, the math doesn't work out. There's no way that we can get out of the debt that we have. It's $36.2 trillion. And then there's over, I think it's over $200,000 in unfunded liabilities. So that's Medicare, Medicaid. Let me go ahead really quick. I don't want to, U.S. debt clock. I just don't want to.
You're close, Coleman. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's, $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. I think that's probably a pretty safe. I know what the debt clock says, but when we're looking at this and just rounding, 200 trillion is close enough.
Yep. So you're right, Shane. It was 228. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure. For some reason I thought it might have been 100. But I guess that's wishful thinking. So $228 trillion plus the $36 trillion. There's the math doesn't math on this. There's no way we can get out. And I do think that you're going to see something happen over the next 4 to 8 years. That's going to be pretty significant. And I really wanted to pick Larry's, brain on this one when he brought it up, but the conversation went a different direction. So I'd like to go ahead and ask the panel up here kind of their thoughts on, like Larry had kind of alluded to, and same with O'Dell here, is almost like a Bretton Woods 3.0, where we start just acquiring Bitcoin to strengthen the dollar and the ripple effects of that taking place. There's a lot of critics are going to say that it's just going to show that the U.S. dollar doesn't have, you know, we don't have faith in it anymore, and it's going to cause massive inflation. I think though that's going to be the inevitability of it regardless. When you go look at the treasury yields, they're continually going up. You know, the treasury, you know, Powell cut rates by a percent or 100 basis points and the treasury yields have gone up by almost that much since he's done it. And so I do think the treasury yields are going to continue to go higher because people are going to want a higher return for buying U.S. debt because they know that it's insolvent. And doing an SBR might just be the saving grace where we can go ahead and kind of right the ship. It's definitely not going to be painless. There'll definitely be a lot of bumps on the road or along the road. But I do think that Odell's right that print as much as you can without causing too much pain and then just try and slowly acquire it. But Bob, Shane, Wade, I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
You know, Coleman, we're 1 year almost at the end of the week. It'll be 1 year since the Bitcoin ETFs launched in the United States. And there are still people out there in the investment world who have not understood what this means, what Bitcoin is, the access, how it's less friction for people to get into Bitcoin. And so, you know, adoption is still
Can anyone hear Wade? Is it just me?
Matt Odell can get up on a stage and talk about the SBR and the effects. I think we can see that, but there's still a vast amount of people out there, the vast majority of people out there that don't see this, that don't understand the big print as Larry was talking about yesterday. They don't have any conception of what is actually going on. And so I think that we'll see if we get an SBR, whatever form or fashion it looks like, you know, as we've talked about with an executive order or legislation or a combination thereof, I think we'll see a lot of the news media saying, you know, this is a really bad thing for the United States and Trump's going to go down as the worst president and all these different things to make people not really focus on what's actually going on. And I think it'll keep people in the dark a little bit longer than we would all like to think. Now, I'm not saying it's bearish by any means. I think all of us see it as, you know, it's crystal clear, for all of us, but there's still the vast majority of people who are just tethered to that old system and can't understand that this is changing around them and the narratives, especially in the media, that they still, by and large, I know people are losing trust in them, but will still read and try to understand and say, oh yeah, this is a bad thing because, you know, the New York Times told me it is, or whatever media outlet that they pay attention to. I think it won't be as immediate and crazy as we all think, and that's probably a good thing. But those are just my initial thoughts.
I hope you're right with that. I hope it's not as crazy and with a lot of consequences and it's slow because again, that's going to cause just massive implications for a lot of people. Again, I would say it's in the 90%, high 90s still percent of people who don't have any exposure to Bitcoin. I was listening to Marty Bent and Parker Lewis talk and he made the argument that it's about 99% of people and companies don't have exposure to Bitcoin and use the S&P 500 as an example on that. So you're right. And when this takes off, you're going to exclude the vast majority of people by being able to acquire any of it. You can even use the $100,000 mark of Bitcoin as an example for that. People think it's too expensive. They don't know that Bitcoin is fractioned out to 100 million individual pieces, Satoshis, and they don't know that you can buy fractions of it. So I would hope that it happens slowly and we allow more people to onboard. I don't think Bitcoin works that way, though. But the reason I wanted to bring this up in this video is I've heard this thrown around a couple times, and I don't know if it's just because we're coming to that inevitability or just because Trump's coming into office, but the Bretton Woods 3.0. I've heard a couple different Bitcoiners speak about it, so I'm just trying to figure out, again, is it just because it's the math isn't good at math and they have to do it, or is it, are they seeing what's going to play out? Again, I'm just trying to figure out why they're all of a sudden we're starting to see more talk of this, or if it's just me just kind of hyper-focusing in on this. Rustin joined us, so I want to just say good morning, sir, but I didn't mean to cut you off, Bob.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I do think that it's going to be necessary at some point, right? The monetary system And, you know, our debt-based system is dying. Like, we can see it. And to date, there's been really no alternative except for now in the last 15 years we have Bitcoin. So I think that, you know, the whole idea of gradually and then suddenly will play out. I think the job of the politicians, and maybe to a lesser extent the central banks, will be to make sure it is gradually and not suddenly too fast. because we don't want, you know, chaos. And, you know, just as a society, it's generally not good. Now, you can measure that in a lot of different ways, but I think we all know that Bitcoin is an inevitability, and this change of system is going to happen, whether people like it or not. It has to happen. And I guess my thesis is that they're going to have to wind this down in a way that is you know, provides as little disruption as possible to the social order. Now, a lot of people will get probably eaten up where, you know, the late adopters will be the ones who suffer the most. But, you know, that's a whole nother topic. I just think this Bretton Woods 3.0 idea is, you know, going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And I think it's certainly an interesting topic. I'm curious to hear other people's ideas on this too.
Yeah, Bob, I think you're hitting it there at the end, man. If they print so much money so fast, it's going, I mean, you're going to destroy so many people's lives. And that's, you know, whether they're buying Bitcoin or not. So I, you know, like, I know it's an inevitability, but like when we're talking about the trillions of dollars that they're going to print to chase Bitcoin, that's going to inflate the market. We already know what happens when that, it's the lower class, it's the middle class that suffer the most. And these are people that have probably played by the rules their entire lives, right? Like these are your baby boomers, you know, your older Gen Xers, everybody that's saved, that's put, you know, their stock, their money into the stock market, treasury bills, you name it. And when these guys pull off, you know, the liquidation, which would be, you know, basically Bretton Woods 3.0, you know, we know the U.S. government has, you know, really no compunction about going out there and you know, defaulting on their debt. When they do that, that's going to cause a huge problem here. I mean, not only in the United States, but around the world, because when you start to think about the implications of this, where now people have to migrate over to Bitcoin, the, you know, we've seen scams, but we haven't seen anything in terms of scams yet in terms of what we're going to see when this happens. So you print a couple $1 trillion and you start buying Bitcoin, you start, you know, putting in, you know, mining assets around the country or whatever they're going to do. Now you're talking about these people that really don't understand Bitcoin. They probably don't understand technology. They may not even understand social media, right? And so you're going to have that demographic who is highly targeted by people out there that, you know, are unscrupulous, and they go after, you know, the elderly because they don't know this kind of stuff. You're going to have people like giving out wallets that are linked to, you know, seed words that people already know. It is going to be absolute chaos if this goes as quickly as I think it's going to go. And I think it is going to go quickly because we're at that point where, you know, there are countries out there that control energy that are saying no more, like, your dollar sucks, we don't want it anymore. When that happens, guys, and the U.S. is forced to pay in Bitcoin, the people who are going to take advantage of those people that don't understand this technology are going to be extremely plentiful. And I think that's going to cause even more chaos in this conversion. I think that's one of the things that we don't talk about enough in Bitcoin. Is this transition rate, you know, this is the suddenly part, and that suddenly part is going to hurt. It's going to destroy a lot of people. And you know, making sure that those guys have good information, good sources. You know, that's what Bitcoin Veterans was born out of. And I got to tell you, you know, we've got a giant job ahead of us, especially if this is the game theory that's going to play out.
Do you limit some of the, you know, the negativity that's going to happen for people that are no coiners when there's, you know, the Lummis's bill gets passed or Trump does it through executive order? do you limit some of that negativity by telling everybody once it's signed into law? I encourage everyone, businesses, individuals, to go and buy Bitcoin and start accumulating it, and just kind of give that as kind of like, hey, I encourage everyone to do this, to help kind of offset the amount of inflation and print that's going to happen. Or do you think that just causes more chaos?
I honestly just think it causes more chaos. And this is the point where, you know, it's great and everything that, you know, this is, you know, Bitcoin adoption is happening, but you know, it's, let's be fair. And I'm not a big fan of Jordan Peterson, but a few years ago down in Miami, Jordan Peterson said, hey, you better watch out what you're wishing for, because this is going to come with a whole host of problems. And that's the thing is, you know, I think, you know, as long as we're out there and we're already talking about this, you know, my conscience is going to be clean. I think most everybody here's conscience is going to be clean, and we're going to be working like hell to make sure people aren't taken advantage of. But yeah, I think the chaos is just going to explode when this happens. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of people out. It's going to take, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, some unrest due to it. You don't just have people pay into Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid over time. And if you think they're going to part with Bitcoin to, you know, fund those aspects of the quote unquote promise that is, you know, basically a nanny state, like I just don't think it happened. So I think it's going to be extremely painful.
We have Dr. Nick up here on the stage. Good morning, sir. But Rustin, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Your thoughts on, do you think Trump does an executive order to create a strategic Bitcoin reserve? And what's the fallout of that taking place?
What's up, guys? Happy to be here. I think the initial step will be by executive order to transfer those seized, to become a reserve asset. Then, if they're going to be implementing the strategy to accumulate a million Bitcoin, that's going to take law, and legislation by Congress, for sure. You're going to have opposition to it. But, what we're all getting down to here and talking about is the fact that it's not that they want to. It's at this point, they have to. Anyone who's studied economics or, you know, especially the Weimar Republic, you can see the charts happening now, the contraction of cycles from QE. It takes triple, quadruple the dose to get the same effect, but it dwindles in its time that it actually supports the market, because the money is devaluing at such a fast pace. And now we can already look at this. Think about what happened in 2020. What's coming is going to have to be magnitudes bigger. And they're laying the foundations to give them the reasons to do so. Like, you've seen the news, you know, something about birds or whatever, but they're going to do something like this, and they have to do it to maintain the facade that they're in control, but they really have no control. That's why everything's so fucked. Okay. But they can try it. But I think Samson is one of the guys that was really onto something when he's talking about the Great Reset, the debt jubilee, the resetting of the dollar, pegging a stable coin, a dollar to a sat, something of that nature. But you have the Trifon dilemma. There's so many things at work here. But one thing we know for certain, they say the economy's strong. Well, we have record homelessness, record defaults on credit. We have a $3 trillion, commercial real estate, set to go up. So, and then, hey, you know, if we're going to do a SBR, that's one thing, but they're also buying Greenland, Panama, and, making Canada a 51st state. That sounds like, a money printer we can't even fathom. So whether it's going to be violent or not, it's probably going to be, the way you can try to stair step it, you can think, you can. That's the same mentality of the Fed thinking soft landing. It doesn't work. People aren't just little economic machines. They don't They are random. No one can dictate the behavior, and everyone's going to seek to benefit themselves the most. And that's what leads to these cascading events where the snowball just picks up steam and there's no stopping it. We already know. And I thought this, I know a lot of people here, especially Mike Hobart. I think me and Mike, the day after Swift, both dropped articles that was the biggest move in history and the biggest, it started everything. As far as Bitcoin and getting here, that was it. You already have Russia talking about, or they already are trading with other countries in Bitcoin, and that they are going to increase that behavior. And he even said, who can stop Bitcoin? No one. But there's also what they say and what they do, right? So you can see Trump, and he acts and he says these things about the dollar or Russia and these things. But then at the same time, you see them working almost cohesively in a certain way. It's almost like they're trying to, in their own sly roundabout way, take the head off the snake. What is the snake? Well, it's the central banks. So why wouldn't Russia, the US, the UK, why wouldn't everyone want their sovereignty back? And that's what Bitcoin provides. And then we get into a merit-based society where nations may actually have to provide value and not just destruction. So I don't know. We're on the cusp of something big. And it doesn't matter. They're going to start the SBR with the executive order. Now, if the law passes initially or not, they're advertising to the rest of the world. Just the fact that they mention it, there's no stopping what's going to come next. So we are in interesting times. I'm hopeful, Max Payne theory doesn't come and we get this violent move. That leaves a lot of people out. But at the same time, if you think about it, if hyper Bitcoinization does happen, there really is no wrong. Like, people aren't going to get hurt. They just start saving in Bitcoin and they'll still reap greater rewards than they would investing in any fiat, equity or whatever shitcoin they can come up with.
Yeah, that was really well said, Rustin. Thank you. And I agree with everything you'd stated there. Max Payne, you know, hyper Bitcoinization, it's going to leave people behind. There's no way around it. It's just unfortunate. But again, it doesn't mean that they're left out of the system. They just have to try and approach it at a different angle. Maybe, again, there was an article that came out in the Dib today that I wanted to spend some time on. And in case for those who don't know what that is, that's a Daily Intelligence Bulletin. It's put on by one of the BBs, Randy. And so he had mentioned that the EU has new rules that could threaten your Bitcoin security. The Financial Action Task Force travel rule is designed to combat money laundering and terrorist financing. It's based in France. It's an unelected international organization established by G7 countries in 89. This expansion placed Bitcoin and other digital assets under their scope, viewing them as potential threats to the established financial order. So they're worried that Bitcoin is going to cause chaos in those countries. Countries in the G7 refusing to comply with the Financial Action Task Force recommendations risk exclusion from their global financial network. So they're saying if you're not going to treat Bitcoin and put, you know, large parameters on it to limit who can buy it and who can use it, we're going to exclude you from the payment system. And so we saw how that worked out with Russia. And so I see this ruling from them backfiring, and I can see it increasing the adoption rate for Bitcoin. And I wanted to get the panel's thoughts on this. I think with rulings like this, and you're going to have different countries that are going to try and limit people from buying it because they know it's the escape hatch from the crumbling fiat currencies they use. I think it's important that we go back to the first thing in Bitcoin, and that it's a peer-to-peer payment system first, and it's not a saving mechanism. That comes second. And I'd like to get everyone's thoughts on why peer-to-peer is more important than just buying it and saving it for the adoption of Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is awesome. Talk about an advertisement. Not allowing us to give you permission to use your money is bad for your health. I mean, come on. This is where we're at in the story. Absolute clown world. But this is what we get at. Like, these people don't understand. They are so out of touch with what is happening. You can put rules on paper. You can put words on paper. They don't fucking do anything. Bitcoin is an open source protocol. You can't, there's no stopping this train, buddy. You may make it a little inconvenient, but you know, you're just going to have to wake up to that sad reality. You're just banning yourself and making yourself poor. So, I mean, at this point, if we look at it around the world, who is denying freedom at a higher scale? It looks like democracy. Democracy seems to hate freedom. I don't understand how democracy failed. I don't know. Maybe it's because Meyer Amschel Rothschild was right. I care not who writes the laws. Just let me control the money and you're all just, you know, cattle in our eyes. But that's right. That game has shifted. It's dangerous to the establishment, and fuck them anyway.
Bro, I like that energy, Rustin. Holy shit. Yeah, these people have been made so soft and so secure by this absolute ridiculous notion that somebody can control all the money in the world. And that's ridiculous, right? Like when you get to that point and you've gotten to where you are, that's who these people are. They think that their money is going to save them, and over time it's going to be their undoing. That is the most beautiful, poetic thing that Bitcoin is probably doing for the entire world right now, is you have this small class of assholes out there who have been robbing people and extracting their wealth, their time, their energy, and their lives, literally leaving them penniless to not, you know, flow down, you know, all that they've accomplished in their life to their legacy, to their children, to their, you know, their progeny. Like, to have that, you know, be what's the poetic message that's unfolding in front of the entire world right now, where they're like, well, these are our laws and this is our money and this is what you're going to have to do. Like, fuck you guys, man. We're done playing in that game. We're done playing in your system. We are out. We're going to go do this thing over here. And if you want to come compete with us on a level playing field, by all means. But I'll tell you what's going to be even better and more poetic is the fact that the name economy is coming back. And the name economy is this: if you treat people right, and you do the right thing for the right reasons at the right times when nobody is looking, you are going to excel in this world no matter what. The people that have screwed over everybody, the people that have extracted wealth, the people that have lied and, you know, manipulated and controlled the media and everything else that are out there, those people are going to have no name, no pot to piss in terms of going out and dealing with the masses, because they are illegitimate. They had a whole bunch of capital. They had influential capital. They had money in terms of capital. They had all this capital at their fingerprints. And what do? They fucked everybody with it. That is exactly what Bitcoin is going to make right in this world. And I hope it happens in our lifetime. I think it will, but geez, oh Pete, to watch this unfold and to watch these people reap what they've sown is going to be the icing on this fucking cake.
I'll provide a little bit. I mean, I love the comments and I totally agree. I think I'll provide a little bit of a different view. It'd be great too if we had some Europeans on the space, just so we could hear their take. But they've created their own problems, right, with who they've elected. And what we've seen, at least in the United States, and now with Trudeau stepping down, is this shift back to what I think are, you know, what this, like, the ideals of what this country was built on. And so I think that, like, a lot of us, because we have these checks and balances and, you know, things swing different ways, we see this as just, you know, humorous in some cases, obnoxious in others, and pure stupidity for the most part. But there's those people, who have elected, you know, for decades, elected government officials to create, this environment where these, I guess, unelected officials exist and create the rules. And so, obviously we see it as crazy, but we could say the same thing about China banning Bitcoin mining back in 2021. And you see the impact that that had for a short term on, well, mining and the hash rate and then also price. But we see what Bitcoin did, right? Bitcoin's decentralized. It's secure. It's backed by energy. And, you know, as long as that's the case, these human institutions may try to throw all kinds of things at it, ban it, stop it, control the people that want to use it. But in the end, it'll just pop up somewhere else and flourish because that's what Bitcoin does. And so I think, you know, again, I'll just kind of repeat. I think, you know, from an American perspective, this looks nonsensical. But from a European perspective, and just because I have some friends that I talk to, like they're so, disenfranchised and they just don't understand. Like they see, record inflation coming and the numbers coming out, and the governments, and economic authorities have not really good ways to hide it anymore. And they're all feeling it far more than we do in the United States. And so, you know, it makes me wonder, like, what a European's response to this would be.
Dr. Nick, we've had you up here, and I don't know if we've skipped over you, but if you have anything you'd like to say, I'd like to hear your opinion on this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, I've been sitting back and listening. I really like this energy. It's been awesome. But I just kind of want to throw my two sats in, kind of to add on the point that Shane was talking about earlier. You know, with this whole game theory of gradually then suddenly seemingly playing out, I think that the time of buying Bitcoin on exchanges is limited. And I don't know how long that's going to last. It could last like another decade or so, or it could be coming up in the next year or two. I have no idea, but I think everybody needs to have a game plan on how they can have a positive sats flow, meaning you're either selling your goods and services for Bitcoin or you're mining Bitcoin. I'm super bullish on home mining. I think anybody can do it. It might seem a little bit complicated at first, but there's so many knowledgeable people out there, and that's kind of where Bitcoin Veterans comes in, is educating people on this stuff. But if you use heat during the winter, like I have an S19 J Pro that's running and it's providing my house heat right now. You know, you can earn sats while you're heating your home. If you have a pool, you can throw a hydro miner in there, a hydro cooled miner in there, and heat up your pool. If you're a gardener, you have a hydroponic setup, integrate a hydro cooled miner into that. There's just so many ways that I see home mining becoming more and more innovative. And like, if you look at any type of technology that we use on a daily basis today and see where that technology is, you know, or where it was 10 years ago, like that's how quickly and exponentially I think home mining is going to grow and innovate. I think everybody's going to have some sort of Bitcoin mining in their home, and I think it's very important for people to have a game plan to integrate that into their homes, into their lives, or into their business. And that's just going to contribute to the peer-to-peer aspect of Bitcoin and the decentralization of the network, which I think is even more important. So just want to throw that out there and put that in the back of everyone's minds to kind of have a game plan for that moving forward.
I agree with you, Dr. Nick, and I think you can already see that you can't buy Bitcoin, or it's not readily available for some people in different countries. And that's why I want to kind of bring this back around to my original argument, where with these rules and regulations, I think it's more important for us to remember that Bitcoin is meant to be spent. It's meant to be used in transactions. If someone's willing to use it and accept it, you should go out of your way to go ahead and make those payments. Again, the Bitcoin network is useless if all the Bitcoin just sits in our hardware wallets and it's not transacting. That's how you spread adoption. Again, if you have a hard time visualizing that, I was trying to think of analogies, and the one I came up with were roads. You know, roads are absolutely useless when we all just sit in front of a computer all day and we leave our cars in the garage. Like it makes no sense. So same thing with Bitcoin. We need to make sure that we go out there and we spend it and onboard people. And that's the best way to do it. And it doesn't matter what laws governments put in place. Nobody can stop that peer-to-peer transaction. And so if we want to make this next phase of adoption less painful, again, that should be the goal for 25. Go out there and just start spending your Bitcoin. Now, I'm not telling you to spend it recklessly. I'm not telling you to, again, you should be saving in it. But if someone's able to accept it and you have to make that purchase, go ahead and do it. And then just top it off again. Again, I always try and spend Bitcoin when I can, and then I just top it back off. I go to the exchange, and if something costs me $50, I just go buy in. I buy $55 just to top it off a little bit more. But again, we're utilizing the network, and we're making sure that we're doing it. And I'll call Gabe out on this. Gabe Lord, he does a phenomenal job. He sends Bitcoin Rocks pamphlets to local businesses in his area. He sends them out. He waits a couple weeks, and then he goes to those businesses and starts asking about Bitcoin. Again, that's how we're going to make this phase a lot more bearable for the vast majority of people. But we are getting to the top of the hour. Bob, Dr. Nick, Rustin, or Shane, do you guys have anything else you'd like to hit on or mention or add to?
No, man, it was awesome hanging out. Look forward to coming in the morning when we're not too crazy, getting stuff together, but always fun hanging out with you guys. And man, I can't wait for Alaska. That is going to be incredible. My wife kind of always had this thing, wanted me to go see the whales. And so this is just like a little bucket list item. You guys got to go check that out. See all the cool things they have available at Bitcoin Alaska. It's just one conference that will be unlike any other. Like, I think of it, you guys have been to shows, you know, I'm a big concert guy. I'm a big metal fan. I got to see Manson's on his comeback tour right now. They tried to cancel him and he's killing it. I think he just got voted number one album in Revolver. But there's something about, you know, there's a big arena show. That's cool. But then there's like CBGBs, like that small intimate venue. And it's just, it's just something about that just makes it, more special. And also that environment is just going to be incredible. So can't wait for that. You guys, we're winning super hard right now. Just like Dr. Nick said, soon they're going to have black boxes, on half the houses on the block are going to be using Bitcoin hardware and using all the benefits that it provides. I tried. Let's see. All right, so this is about 4 years ago. There is a ethanol plant. I should go and dunk on these guys, but they have a huge turbine, and it runs on like 4 to 5 megawatts. But there's probably about 3/4 to 1 megawatt that was excess at any given time. So they could have plugged in like 300, 400 miners and been monetizing that this whole time, but they didn't go for it. That's okay. That's okay. But love you guys. It's a great morning. Let's go get it today.
Hey, thank you so much, Rustin, for joining us. It's always great to have you on the space. And I look forward to meeting you in person at Bitcoin Alaska. I myself am really looking forward to that trip. Again, I'm bringing my whole family. I'm bringing my mother-in-law. Again, it's going to be amazing. Feel free to get there early. There are pre-conference events taking place on the 1st all the way through the 7th. And the conference itself is the 5th and 6th. So make sure you get there early, stay, explore. It's going to be great. And stay tuned to the Bitcoin Alaska handle for updates. And then again, if you plan on going, get your tickets and reservations quick. That will book up. I do want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Punchplate. Make sure you stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Check them out at punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo, blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use the code BTCVETS for 5% off. And if you pay in Bitcoin, which we all should, potential for 15% off your order. solosatoshi.com. And again, buying Bitcoin on exchanges is going to get more difficult. Again, try and hit that lottery with your home miner. And again, we have the Bitcoin video podcast, Bitcoin Veterans video podcast tonight at 9 p.m. So new time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I think we have all the founders coming on. Shane, I'm going to throw it over to you real quick to give that plug if you don't mind.
Yeah. Hey, man. Excited about tonight. 9 p.m. is the new time, guys. We'll have myself, Gabe, Jordan, Mike on, and I think we're going to be joined by our good buddy Average Gary out there, and we're going to be talking freedom speech, Noster. We're going to get into some of the specifics on it. We're going to talk a little bit about 2024, kind of lessons learned, maybe in some 2025 stuff, geopolitics going forward, what we think's going on, and a little bit of intel. You know, if you guys are interested and getting into, you know, these understandings, we've got some great groups out there. You can go to bitcoinveterans.org, get signed up and become part of Bitcoin Veterans. You don't have to be a veteran. It's just one of those places where we've got a ton of resources and a ton of people who are ready to help. If you don't know Bitcoin, they'll teach you. If you want to talk intel, homesteading, homeschooling, any of those things, we've got groups for all of those things. This is a very action-oriented group, and we are absolutely humbled to have anybody and everybody that's coming around. So 9 o'clock, we will be streaming live to Noster through Zapstream tonight for the first time. So if you want to get on Noster, get an account, and watch on Zapstream, man, we'd love to have you. Rustin, great having you. Nick and Bob up here, everybody else in the audience, thank you guys for always being here. And I did want to give a special shout-out to Randy Kay out there in the audience, man. He's been doing the intelligence brief for a year straight, daily. And I got to tell you, that is a huge effort. It's you know, the class – and just professionalism that he does it with is off the charts. So, big thank you to Randy for doing that. And, thank you to everybody else out there. Wade for putting on Bitcoin Alaska. If you haven't got your tickets, I definitely recommend getting up to Alaska, and seeing this. I think this is going to be a one of a kind Bitcoin, event, and the fact that Bitcoin Veterans are leading it, I'm through the roof excited. So, you guys get out there, kill it today. I'll see you guys later tonight.
Absolutely. Can't wrap up the show any better than that. Thank you, Shane. I threw up in the nest. If you're new here, again, reach out to us. We're more than happy to show you the ropes, answer any questions you have. Follow me, the Bitcoin Veterans handle, or Shane. We'll point you in the right direction. There is an intake form on the Bitcoin Veterans website that you can go ahead and input your information if you don't want to reach out to us directly. But also Operation Bitcoin is having a free course. Enrollment starts next Monday. So anybody who's a veteran or active duty or military spouses is eligible to go ahead and enroll in this. So I put a link up in the nest. You can check them out at Operation Bitcoin as well. But please give that a look. But that's it, guys. That's all I have. Thank you so much for everybody who tuned in, and I'll see you tomorrow. But do not shitcoin. It's like driving a car with no gas.